state of Texas, specifically the city of Austin. And I greet you in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, He indeed is Lord. He is Lord over all. He is Lord through all. He is above everything. And it's necessary to always keep that in mind, because as we see the world and the world system continuing to escalate in depravity, in sin, in delusion, in going the wrong way, we need to always remember that we stand for light, we stand for truth, and ultimately we're standing for the way that leads to life, because we follow Christ. We follow the one that has the way out for us, the way out for all of mankind. You know, there is a solution to all of the problems that mankind faces today. All of the problems have a solution, but they begin with Jesus Christ. And without Jesus, as the scriptures say, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So without Christ Jesus, you're going in a very destructive way, in a very destructive pattern. But with Christ, with Him leading and guiding and directing and showing and teaching and allowing for people to understand, He's able to show you the solution. He's able to show you the way. He's able to bless your efforts. He's able to destroy the demonic works that may be affecting people's lives or businesses or work or their efforts. And He's also able to give wisdom and knowledge and understanding and the ability to create. You know, we serve a God of creation. And as followers of Christ, we have the ability to create because we have life in us. And for those that do not have Him, they have no life. And because they have no life, they have to try to get life from the people that do have it. I.e., that's the reason why they try to drain the life out of you. So once you start realizing that's part of the game, then you adjust. Then you understand. Not everybody that shows up and wants to be part of your life has to be part of your life. Jesus gave us a very real and a very concrete example of this. When, in His earthly ministry, all the people that are around Jesus would have loved to be right next to Him all the time, there in His life. They would have loved to have been there. But Jesus, as an example of time in the earth, of like you and I are living right now, He showed, He only did what He saw the Father doing. He only spoke the words that God gave Him to speak. He lived His life under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He did the works that God gave Him to do. And when it came to people, when it came to the relationships that Jesus had in His life, He was very deliberate about those. Even when it came to, the multitudes were following Him, but then He went up on the mountain to pray, and He picked among the people that were following Him, He picked the 12. Among the 12, there were 3, Peter, James, and John. Even within the 3, John had a special connection with Jesus. He was known as a disciple that Jesus loved. And you see how even at the cross, all the other guys had run away, but John and a few women were still there. They came back. They were there. They at a distance, but they were still around. And when it came down to even having somebody that would look after Jesus' mother, He said, to John from the cross, to Mary, He said, "Woman, this is your son." And to John, He said, "This is your mother now." And they looked after each other. So, just imagine somebody being that close that you would trust them to take care of your family when you are no longer going to be around to do so. But Jesus selected. Jesus was deliberate about it. And you need to be deliberate about who's in your life, the circles that are in your life. You can consider it like almost like concentric circles. The people that are the closest to you, one step removed, So you have your friends, you have your close friends, you have your friends one step out from that, and acquaintances. You can have plenty of acquaintances, but guard your heart. Scriptures tell you to guard your heart, because out of it come the issues of life. So, I mean, as I've continued to go forward in my own walk and my own relationship with Christ, I have learned to be mindful of the people that are in my life. And I've learned to be mindful of the people that have access to my life. Because there's a lot of people that show up at any given time that want to be close, especially when you're walking with Christ. People want to be close. But you got to make a decision. Who does God want you to be close to? And who's the ones that are called to be there by your side? And who are the ones that are safe for that? Because there's a lot of people that want to get close just so that they can redirect your path, just so that they can control you, just so that they can have access to you, just so that they can divert you in another direction that you never would have chosen in and of yourself. And you would never would have chosen under the direction of Christ. But they want to take you in another path. Sometimes they're assigned to you by the enemy. You know, one way that you can kind of tell when people have been assigned to you is when they approach your life initially with a lot of compliments and a lot of flattery. Usually when somebody starts off by trying to flatter, that's kind of a red flag. When somebody starts off with all these great things, you know, and then it's like, okay, wait a second, what's going on here? You see that in the scriptures when they tried to set up Jesus. People that were sent from the Pharisees, they'd start off with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you know, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. We know that, you know, you don't respect the person of men. You know that you teach the ways of God according to the truth, etc., etc., etc. So therefore, now we got our trick question for you, which in our own minds, whichever way you answer, we'll be able to trap you. That's usually the way that it works. It starts off with a bunch of compliments and trying to get access, trying to get you to lower your guard and to try to speak in a way that, you know, maybe you'd feel free, but realizing that in the end there's a trap, there's a deception. And even in that specific situation, Jesus called him out right there. He's like, "Who are you trying to trap with your trick question?" And then he gave them the answer. In that specific instance, it was a question about taxes. Should we pay taxes or shouldn't we? You know, and Jesus said, "All right, you know, show me the denarius." And they pulled out the coin, and he said, "Whose image and superscription are on here?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he says, "Well, give unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and give unto God what's God's." So. You know, I mean, Jesus, the fact that they were carrying around the coin showed that they were part of that system. And I mean, he dealt with it tactfully, and he dealt with it in a way that they couldn't trap him. And how many times in Jesus' life did they try to trap him? How many times in Jesus' existence did they try to set a trap for his feet? You know, I mean, if you read the four Gospels, if you just look for that, you will see time and time and time again that people were trying to set him up. They were trying to get him killed. They were trying to ensnare him in his words. They were trying to do something, anything, because they couldn't stand the fact that the power of God was upon him, that he had the attention of the masses, that people were following him, that he was disrupting their economic system. You know, they don't like that. You know, as soon as people see their hope of making money is gone, that's when all hell breaks loose. As soon as the cash cow is messed up. You know, that's something I noticed too, like even in the book of Acts with Paul and Silas, you know, when they went into, you know, actually, this is kind of a funny one if you look at it from a different viewpoint. Acts 16, and verse, now here's something just to keep in mind. Acts 15 and 16, you start getting into this whole missions trip where Paul and Silas are sent by the Holy Spirit. And there's the vision of the man of Macedonia that appears to Paul in verse 9. Chapter 16 says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." And just keep that in mind, because when you jump forward 15 verses to verse 25, you end up at night, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard him. Why did they hear them? Because, verse 24, who had received such a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fasten in the stocks. So sometimes, and many times, we'll find that you're assured that God is sending you to go do something, and 14 verses later in your life, you find yourself in the middle of a troubling, difficult situation. And it's all of a sudden you're like, wait, what in the world? Didn't God tell me to go do this? And now all of a sudden I just got my head kicked in and I'm struggling with this and I'm in trouble. And what do I do now? You see what I'm saying? Have you experienced this? Yes or no? Chances are, yes, you have. You've followed God. You've sought to follow His voice. You've sought to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the next thing that you know is you're in trouble. But you got to persist. All right, I'm overlapping a couple of things, too. I want to wrap up the first part here, which was let's see how they got in there. All right, verse 16, "And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days." All right, now listen. I'm just going to slow down right there. So this was going on for many days. Now, first of all, the spirit behind it, even though she was speaking the truth, the spirit behind it was one of lies and deception. So that's something to keep in mind, that it's not even the words that are said, but it is that which is behind those words. It is that which is, because there's always a spiritual residue on everything, and that is determined from where the volition, the intention, the motivation, and the source of where something is coming from. So that's why, too, you can hear people saying things that are true, but they come from a spirit of lies. And, that's why, too, sometimes when I go to places, specifically even places of religion, and I meet people, and, but that which is coming from the source of them, even if they're saying something true, the spirit and the heart and the volition and the intention is false. And over a period of time, when that sows in to that which is true and right, it will actually end up destroying the people that hear it over and over and over again. Because bad company corrupts good character. And likewise, walk with the wise and you'll become wise yourself. So it affects things. All right. And she did this many, and this she did many days, verse 18. But Paul, being grieved, because he sensed the spirit that was behind it, turned and said unto the spirit, "I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters, now here, keep in mind, Paul and Silas have been walking around, preaching the gospel, doing the work of God. And verse 19, "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers." Why did their hope of gain go? Well, because now all of a sudden the spirit that was inside this girl that allowed her to tell fortunes, which people were paying for, was gone. So now she's just a person, and they can't make something off of her. They didn't care about the gospel. They didn't care about what Paul and Silas were saying. But when the money got involved now, and the money was affected. Now you see these guys get very spiritual. Verse 20, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. All right. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Okay, so when their hope is making money is gone, that's when they got mad. When the cash cow was touched, that's when they get mad. See, when the place where people in the world get upset and get angry is when all of a sudden now they can't profit off of a particular situation, and all of a sudden now when they can't control people anymore. The reason there's people out there that have an issue with what we do here at Faith Mix is because when we give out truth, as the Spirit of the Lord gives it to us, and hey, we get it straight from the throne, it comes straight through, straight from the Spirit to you via this medium, that's it. That's the only way we know how to do it. That's the way that God put it out for us to do it from a long time ago when we started this, and throughout, this is the way that it works. And as that goes forward, the thing is, that happens is people get upset because when truth is spoken and when you hear it and it resonates in you and it exposes a lie, then if that seed takes hold and if the word of truth takes hold in your heart and it grows, all of a sudden now you can't be controlled anymore. You start realizing that the kingdom is within. You start following the voice of the Spirit for yourself and for real rather than some 12-step book. Or dependent on somebody once a week on a Sunday to tell you that your life is okay. Somebody that's telling you this is the way that you should go and getting with a bunch of other people that are all patting each other on the back saying they're okay. No, you were meant to have a living, dynamic, real relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus Christ that would lead and guide you into all truth moment by moment, day by day, instant by instant, right now, never ever stopping throughout. You're supposed to live that way. And God intended that for you. And if you have that, now, all of a sudden, you don't need the systems of man. You don't need the structure of man. You don't need somebody to approve your life. You don't need somebody. You start realizing that the only approval that you need in the end is the approval that's given by the Holy Spirit. The approval that's given by God. When God is the one that says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's the only approval that you realize that you need. So then you live your life to please Him and not man. And when you live your life to please God and not man, then the way that that works out is when man tells you, you're not pleasing me, and here's what you need to do to please me, then you say, no, I don't need to. And it's not important enough to me to do that. Think about the disciples when they stood in front of the Pharisees in Acts chapter, in fact, might be able to just flip back there. Acts chapter 4. And let's see here. Okay. Verse 13 says, now when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John, chapter 4, verse 13, book of Acts, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Incidentally, when you hang out with Jesus, you're going to be different. And beholding the man, which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against them. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a noble miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. See, here's the thing. They would deny it if they had a chance of getting away with it, but everybody already knew that this has happened, so we can't deny it. They're happy to lie. See, here you go. The religious leaders of the day, even like the religious leaders of today, even like the political leaders of today, are happy to lie to you. This hasn't changed. They've always been the same. If they knew they could get away with it. But they can't get away with it, so now they're stuck. Verse 17. But that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Because that name is powerful, and that name changes things. Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them to not speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was shewed. Isn't that funny? These guys go, they do a miracle, they heal somebody, they restore a person's life that's over 40 years old, and what they encounter is threats and anger and warnings, and they wanted to do something horrible to them, but they couldn't because they were afraid of the people, because they knew that the people had at least seen and knew and understood about this. Because if they could have killed them quietly, they would have. If they could have gotten rid of them away from the public eye, they would have, but they couldn't. And what did Paul and what did Peter and John say in verse 19? And they said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. So you tell me, should we obey God or should we obey you? Oh, here you go. Should we obey the one whose life, who's given us life, given us breath, who's allowed for a time here in the earth, and once this life is over, we will stand before Him and give an account of our lives and our actions and our deeds while we're in the body. Do we obey Him? Or do we obey you? You tiny peanut-brained human being cut off from truth, cut off from life, cut off from you that would see the hand and the work of the living God and would still deny it and would still try to shut up those that are speaking life and truth unto other people and showing them the way to be free. Should we obey God or should we obey you? Fuck you. Sorry, I need to edit that out. Sorry, Lord, forgive me. But that is where these guys are coming from. And the desire to control, the desire to keep people in bondage, and the desire to shut people up that would speak life and truth is there. And that won't go away. But you need to know that the Spirit of the living God lives in you, and with Him living in you, you follow God, follow the work and the Spirit and what He says to you. Because when you do that, your life is ultimately what the Spirit of the Lord speaks to and through you, and what He does in you. See, God wants, you know. It's funny right now. I can just feel how many of you guys are already stuck on that. Maybe I'll just leave that in there. You know, for one specific purpose. Meaning, listen, communication is meaning understood and shared meaning and shared understanding. And right now, I would prefer that you would grasp the war that's on, where things are coming from, and the fact that life and light and truth is with you when you walk with Christ. You don't have to apologize for being a servant of the living God. You don't have to apologize for walking with the truth. You don't have to apologize for being someone that knows who you serve. You don't have to apologize for that. You don't have to rationalize it. You don't have to justify it. Because you're not under their authority, nor are you controlled by them. See, how many people put themselves in that situation and would allow those people to control them, to use them, to profit off of them, to deceive them, to get them wrapped up, and they would waste their life and their years and their efforts and their energies building and perpetuating a system that destroys lives and people? How many people do that? How many people live that way all of their days? And you know what? They're unfulfilled. They're unhappy. And they go from one distraction to the next, one thing to the next. Where are you going to go with this? You are here in this life for a short window. And you're going to spend your time worrying about these things? The only one in the end who you have to please with your life is the living God. That's it. The only one who you have to give an account of your life unto is Him. He's the only one that has to approve of you after this whole thing's done. That's it. No one else. Just Him. And when you realize that, your priorities are going to be different. When you realize that, the place where you're going to invest your time, your energy, all of that's going to be different. And once you realize what truth is, you don't have to apologize for having it. You should put your shoulders back and be proud of what God has put inside of you, because you've been called by the name of the living God. You're a son or a daughter of God Himself in this life. We remove our consent from the world and the world system. We speak boldly that, you know what, you're going the wrong way, and we do not approve. And not only do we not approve, but as much as possible, in whatever we can affect, we remove our consent, our backing, our support, our resource, however we can, because we're not going to be part of it. At some point, somewhere along the way, there's going to be that moment where you got to say, I need the truth more than I need anything else. I need the life more than I need anything else. I want God to lead me and guide me, and more than anything else, that's what I want. That's what I choose. It's the direction that I want to go. Nothing else in this world is as important as walking with Him, following Him, knowing Him. Once you've tasted life and truth and freedom, you can't go with anything else after that. What else has the world got for you? What? So you're going to go inside, you're going to become part of the club, they're going to pat you on the back and tell you, okay, here's your little spot, here's your cubicle, here's your place where you can be a cog in the wheel, and don't have an opinion, don't have a thought inside yourself. They will tell you where you should go, what you should think, what you should do, what should be your priorities, what should be important. And give me a break. Jesus Christ sets you free, and He sets you free to be exactly what He made you to be, and to be connected to the source of life, and for His life to flow through yours, and to empower and to animate everything that you would do. So that even when you just go somewhere, you walk somewhere, light and life and truth shines through you. It's what God intended. And there will be those that, and you know what? You will do good things. You will go to places and you will speak truth and you will help people and you will turn around, and the very fact that you're there, and they will turn around and they'll want to shoot you. Just like in this passage. They want to destroy you for doing good. That's what Jesus said before when they were trying to come arrest him. He's like, I did many miracles in my Father's name. For which of these are you trying to arrest me? For which of these are you trying to stone me? For which of these are you coming after me? I've only done good to you, and why are you trying to come after me? That's the irony of the whole situation. You'll do good. You'll help. You'll be a blessing. And you'll be a decent person, a decent human being. And you even turn around, and even in the midst of that, they'll want to destroy you. And yet, they'll have the worst, most horrible, disgusting person that's part of their system that does the most atrocious acts, and they won't say anything. They give each other a pass. Because it's not about what they do, it's about who they're connected to and the source that they're part of. So for them, because they're part of that fallen system, they do what the fallen system demands. And the fallen system demands that the light be put out, that the light be destroyed. That's what it demands on a spiritual level. So when they come after you, Jesus said, look, if they say bad things about you, just keep in mind they said bad stuff about me first. If they persecute you, just keep in mind that they persecuted me first. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind the fact that for the follower of Christ and the follower of truth and the one that speaks truth, that they didn't want the truth when Jesus was around either. Here's the thing. We continue to go forward. But as we go forward, we realize that this message is not for everyone. This message is just for those that God has called. So we put it out there. But it's also, it's both a call and it's also a witness to those that have chosen to go the wrong way. It's a testimony that they have to deal with. Because in the midst of going the wrong way, they also know and they also realize and they also understand both now and for all eternity that there was another way. And they chose death. Because they chose death, they get the eternal consequence of that choice. If you choose life, you get life. If you choose Jesus, you will receive Him. When He calls out to you, don't harden your heart, but receive it and follow Him. My brothers and my sisters, here's the best part of it though. In all that the early church faced, they overcame. The moment that they removed their consent from the world system and followed Christ and chose to go the way that He had for them, they crossed from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God, and they won. And their life and the remainder of their time in the earth was a victorious experience. And even in that victory, and even when they went to different places and the demons would be cast out and would flee and people would be healed and the lepers were cleansed, Jesus said, don't rejoice that all the demons run away when you're there and you speak in my name. And don't rejoice that all these miracles are happening in my name, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Rejoice that you have eternal life because of me. That in my name, in Jesus' name, you've been set free. That your names are written in heaven. Rejoice for that. Ultimately, rejoice that you've been set free from the trap and the illusion of this world. See, the world's got nothing for us. And yet, while we're here, we're a blessing. While we're here, we do that which the Father has for us to do. And while we're here, even though there's a lack of gratitude from them, even though they do horrible things to try to hurt and to harm, we continue to go forward. Listen, also, the people of God, they're meek. And meek in the sense that there's a difference between meekness and weakness. I got to clarify this. Weakness with a W, that's when you got no power. Weakness is the lack of power. Meekness with an M, meek, is power under control. So when somebody is meek, they have incredible power, but it's under control. So the people of God are meek. We have incredible power. The power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in us. So we have the power in us that trumps anything this world's got. And yet that power is under control. So most of the time, we go through and, you know, we bless and we don't curse. We do what we can to help. We do what we can to be a blessing. We do what we can to make a contribution. We do what we can, where we can, when we can. That said, occasionally there's the time when God has had enough of a particular situation and he uses us to accomplish exploits. And when we speak, things change. When we pray, nations get upheaved. They go through upheaval. The rain stops for years when Elijah prayed. Earthquakes happened when the people of God prayed. The sun stopped and went back. It went backwards in the midst of the prayers of the people of God. Stood still in the sky for Joshua. We affect things that the world could never dream of because we're the people of God. We have incredible power that surpasses anything the world could ever dream or imagine. Beyond your wildest dreams, the power of God lives in you to accomplish his purposes in the earth. And yet, that power is under the control of the Holy Spirit. So we don't use it in and of ourselves, but we use it as the Spirit of God leads and guides us to do that. But just know it's there. Know that it's there. And they know it's there too. That's what scares them. That's why they try to deceive you. That's why they try to trick you. That's why they try to compromise you. That's why they try to lock you down in their system. Because they don't want you to access that power. They don't want you to live in that power. They don't want you to know that power. They don't want you to know that you can shut down their whole kingdom. In just one prayer. The people of God have incredible power. You, my brother, you, my sister, have incredible power living in you. And God has put you here in this life at such a time as this to be a part of what he's doing in this day and this age. Oh, we love it. We love the fact that you guys are all over the world. You listen in and you carry on with what God's doing. And we're able to encourage one another in the truth and keep going. Look, when we broadcast like this, and all right, that's the bulk of the message for today. But, you know, a little bit of housekeeping, I guess. When we broadcast like this, you know, we love the fact that it's touch and go. It's on the run. And you're engaged in what God's doing with you where you are. We're engaged with what God's doing with us where we are. And we're encouraging each other in the truth and with life and moving forward with what's happening. And this is an incredible window that we have for right now for a lot of things. So, you know, we just want to encourage you to keep going in that. And also just know that, you know, it's a challenging time to be alive, but also God has not left us without resource. God has not left us without his support. God has not left us without his Spirit to lead and guide us and to strengthen us in what needs to be done and what needs to be accomplished. Also, let's see here. It might be about a week or so before another audio comes out. You know, a couple things, you know, people moving about and different things that are coming up. So it's probably going to be at least over a week until something next gets through the our pipeline that we have with the different audios that come up. So just kind of keeping you guys informed. We may have some stuff on the Facebook page or our blog or whatever. But yeah, the best way is just always just check back on the homepage. That's usually where things are. And we're continuing to look at the site of how we can continue to make it more functional. And you know, we've had some good suggestions from you guys. So just keep them coming, and you know, we're going to see what we can do about that in time to come. But you know, we love you guys, we really do, and our prayer is that God would just bless you and strengthen you, keep you on that right track. And our prayer is that you would be bold in the truth, bold in that which is real. Put your shoulders back and stand up straight and tall and know that God is with you and you are with Him. And go forward in that truth, unapologetically, a child of light that knows your Father. God bless you. We love you. All right. Hey, drop us an email. Say hi. Faithmix@gmail.com. Thank you guys for the ones of you that write in and say hi. We appreciate you. We love you. Keep on keeping on. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.